What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Bat Flip, where we discuss everything baseballs. I'm Landon Raby. With me, Deuce Thomas. Another sweep, baby. Got them brooms out again. We're getting them out pretty often, and it's fun to do. Before we get into the show, please listen to this great friend we're going to let you know about, and that's Aguani Farms Golf Course. Aguani Farms ranks among the most popular Knoxville area golf courses to host golf events, outings, and tournaments. The course offers a wide range of challenge and playability for golfers of all skill levels. Book your tee time today online at aguanifarmsgolf.com or by phone at 865-970-7132. Guys, go check them out. Great course, beautiful course, love it. It's my home course, so make it your home course today. Do that, go check them out. Guys, another one in the books. We're that much closer to SEC play, outscoring Illinois 38-7 in the series. Tennessee was able to hit 11 home runs. Two of those were grand slams by Robin Villeneuve and Reese Chapman on Saturday. And, I mean, Saturday was just a barrage of runs. But, I mean, it just seems like this lineup continues to produce. They're dangerous. They have guys behind them that are just as dangerous, you know, like Dalton Bargo and Reese Chapman and Robin Villeneuve. Whoever's fighting for those last couple spots in that lineup, it just seemed like there's not a huge drop-off there at all. So, love to see what we're seeing. You're seeing a lot of guys play, a lot of pitchers pitch. And I think this team is one of the best teams in the country. You know, we're not like LSU losing to Xavier. We're not like Florida losing to Stetson and St. Mary's and St. John's, all the Saints. It just feels good right now. Tennessee is playing good baseball. You know, when they're able to get A.J. Russell back in this rotation, I think that's just going to make them that much better. So it's exciting to watch. But good things this weekend. Deuce, what did you see this weekend? I think we got you muted. There we go.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. My bad. Yeah, boys are buzzing. We're hot right now. Even in games where it seems like, you know, maybe we don't play our best, we still find a way. Like on Sunday, you know, halfway through the game, you're thinking, when are we going to get this going? Mm-hmm. Then I think we had a little red ass. We got fired up and we got the bats rolling. And we took care of business. And Saturday was just an absolute annihilation, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we're hitting our stride, which is good. It seems like everybody's kind of starting to come together. The guys that you expected to play well are starting to hit their stride, and guys that even started out a little slower, they're starting to kind of, you know, find their feet. So it's exciting. You continue to win, take care of business. Like you said, other schools aren't doing it. We're doing it, and you got to love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's super impressive. Like the way that you're able to win ball games. I mean, the difference this weekend, yeah, Tennessee was just a better team overall for sure. But the long ball, I mean, Tennessee is able to hit the long ball 1-9. And so you're able to get runs in bunches when you're able to do that. You're able to put up crooked numbers in innings. I think the only inning we didn't put up a crooked number in on Saturday was the fourth inning. We didn't score a single run, but everything else was a crooked number. So yeah, the home runs are coming. I think we're third in the country in home runs coming into the weekend. We hit 11 on the weekend. So I mean, if teams were able to do that, just tip the cap, I guess, because, yeah. You know, that's quite a bit. And not good weather either. Like that Friday night weather, that was, I mean, Billy Amick's home run in that first inning was one of the most impressive home runs I've ever seen hit, because no way that baseball should have went out. I mean, it's blowing dead in, and he's able to muscle one out. I mean, it probably would have went 500 feet if the wind didn't, you know, take so much off of it. But, yeah, he was able to get over the fence, and I think Tennessee made the most of the weekend. I think getting Cal Stark a little bit going – with the bat, you know, him getting that first home run was good. And you're seeing guys in different situations be able to produce. And it's fun to watch kind of Tony Vitello, you know, just like create this concoction with this lineup. And like Hunter Ensley been cold. He pinch hits. It's a home run. It's a first home run of the season. So it's just fun to watch. And it's got to be fun for Tony Vitello too, because he's able to just put guys out there that are really good baseball players and they make him look good. Sure. But he's getting a lot of people some reps, even some freshmen that probably wouldn't get some reps, got some reps on Saturday. So that's good to see kind of what you got. And, you know, it's still kind of those like four guys are fighting for two spots. And it's Hunter Ensley, Reese Chapman, Robin Villeneuve, and Dalton Bargo. All four of those guys are fighting for the last outfield spot, wherever that is, right field, center, or the DH. And so Robin Villeneuve has kind of went cold a little bit, but was able to get a grand slam to kind of put the game on ice there on Sunday. Reese Chapman had a big game, six RBIs on Saturday with that 24-1 win. Dalton Bargo is the guy who came in for Blake Burke. I know we're going to get in that ejection issue earlier or later on in the show, but it's just fun to watch guys being able to come in different situations and being able to produce, and it's got to be fun for this staff.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's like almost every lineup that you throw out there just kind of works.
Yeah,
we mesh well regardless, and you love to see it. But like you said, it was good to be able to get some guys out there this weekend in against a team that should be a stronger competition than you have been playing, you know, the last couple weekends. So gotta love it. Gotta love the production you're getting when they get those opportunities. So yeah, you continue to like what you're seeing so far.
Yeah. So let's break down each game a little bit. We'll start with game one on Friday night. Got to go to that one. Took my wife. She's now 1-0 in Lindsey Nelson. So that was the first time being able to get her out there. So that was a good time. Got some dogs, got some nachos, of course, you got to. But it was cold and rainy and just not a great day for baseball. But, you know, you kind of – they get going in the – I think they get a run in the first inning. We come back with three. A.J. Causey shoved the entire night. He had a career-high 12 Ks. In six innings, only one run, and that was in that first inning. So kind of, you know, got going and just kind of kept it as the innings went on. And I love that first inning because, I mean, it's your three guys, your three studs. Christian Moore gets on base. Blake Burke hits a double, scores Christian Moore. Billy Amick hits a home run, scores both. I mean, in seconds, you're leading by two runs when you're down one. So that was really fun to see in that first inning. And I love the clap from Amick when he comes up to bat. Have you noticed it, like, watching
yes.
the game?
Love it.
I don't know what that song is. I couldn't think of who does that. You're more of a musical genius than myself, so I think –
It
know
makes
it?
Me think of, yeah, I know the song right now. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I think it's in Billy Madison. Is at some point, I think it's in Billy Madison. So every time I hear it, I just think of Adam Sandler and I love it.
Okay.
I'll have to check and see if I'm right about that, but I think I am.
Okay. Yeah. If we can get the name of that, I'd like to know about it. Cause I'd like to, that's a good tailgate song for everybody to start doing that.
Or a basement song, maybe?
Or a basement song, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But I mentioned Cal hitting a bomb. Dylan Drolling was able to get going, too. He had a couple hits, including a home run in the eighth. Tennessee was able to win that one 6-3. Did you see anything that you really liked in that game? What was that?
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, no, like you said, AJ Causey, dude, man, is just slinging the ball right now. I mean, it just gets, you know, every time he comes out, every appearance he makes, you think, man, I don't know if he can top that. And he does. And he's done it every single week. So love to see that.
How is he not your third starter?
I mean, he has to be. You can't just ignore how good he's throwing the ball right now. I mean, he's arguably throwing it the best of anybody we've got right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, love that. It was good for Stark to see one go over the fence. Maybe that'll get him started. It seems like that's been huge for a lot of our guys. It's just kind of finally seeing a ball, you know, either fall in a gap or get over the fence. Kind of just boost that confidence, get them rolling. So, hopefully, you know, that helps him out. You hit Dryling is starting to find his stride, which is huge. Burt continues to rake. Your four guys that we always talk about continue to do the stud things they need to do. But yeah, I mean, it was a good win. It was from pitching the bats. It was just what you kind of look for in a nasty, crappy baseball weather day.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Talking about Dylan Dryling, I mean, like you said, he's been hot the last few games, and he's a guy that a lot of people are like, oh, he's a sophomore. We get him back next year. Well, I got some bad news. His age is – he'll be 21 for the draft, so he will be draft eligible this year. So it sucks, but maybe you're able to lure him back with NIL. I don't know, but yeah, if he's hitting the way that he's hitting – and he's just better defensively. I just think that's probably a tough ask. We'll see. But yeah, I like what I'm seeing from Dylan Dryling. I love Marcus Phillips out of the pen. Dude's a freak. I'd like to see more of him. I'd like to see him kind of extended innings to see if he can go a little bit longer than he's been. But he's fun to watch and has that velo that, you know, you're just hoping that you have in your pen. You're hoping nobody else has in theirs. Him and Nate Snead are guys that, you know, they can run it up there if need be. And so I think he's going to have a bigger role once SEC play gets here. But he's really intriguing and been fun to watch so far.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. But – yeah, that's pretty much all I had on the first game. Okay. Nothing too much more on that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with game two. Another rainy day. You had some weather delays in here, and you just scored and scored and scored and scored some more. I mentioned we only didn't score in the fourth inning. You had 20 hits in the game. Reese Chapman was 3-for-4, 6 RBIs. Blake Burke was 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs. You had 5 starters with multiple RBIs. I mean, it was just a hit. It was batting practice is what it was. And for you to get the bats that hot in a day where, I mean, no, you have to really want to play baseball in that weather.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. One of those where you're kind of just sitting there in the locker room like, I kind of hope it gets rained out.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, well, I've been there.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's an old fashioned ass whooping is what it really was. I mean, you just from top to bottom, you just dominated on a day that wasn't very happy for Tennessee fans. You got a 24-1 baseball win. So that'll ease the pain a little bit. But yeah, the bats continue to stay hot. Beam on the bump. You just always feel good with them. And he's just slinging that thing. And it's not like he's just out there just setting guys down, mowing guys down. He's, you know, pitching to contact and letting his guys make plays, and it's been huge.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a big thing. I'm glad you mentioned that because he is just Mr. Steady Eddie. Like he's not going to wow you with the double digit strikeouts. Now I think he can get up there in some strikeouts, but you know that's just not his game. He's going to throw it over the plate. He's not going to walk a lot at all, if any. I think he walked one the other day. But he's going to fill it up, and that's what Frank Anderson loves. I mean, that's why he was able to get the – when Blade Tidwell was hurt his freshman year, that's why they went to Drew Beam, because he can fill it up, he's athletic, and he's going to throw strikes. And when you're throwing strikes, that's – you got good defense behind you. You're going to throw pretty well. So, yeah, I love what I'm seeing from him, and he's just, again, like when A.J. Russell gets back, you have A.J. Causey, Drew Beam. I mean, that's a solid three-man rotation. Then you have Marcus Phillips. Andrew Binkie's throwing really well. Nate Snead threw well. Aaron Combs can kind of be – I know he started on Sunday, but he's a guy that can really, you know, I think, flourish in the bullpen. You have Kirby, you have Xander. I mean, you have a ton – you have those freshman arms like Austin Hundley and Derek Schaefer and Matthew Dallas. Like, you have a lot of arms just when A.J. Russell gets back, and hopefully that is against – Alabama. Now we'll see how far he goes, but it's going to be fun to watch kind of who is your guys in these, you know, big situations, because a lot of them are new.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great what you're getting out of your guys. I was thinking earlier about Snead. I mean, he's came in and just thrown great. He came in Sunday's game, excuse me, and what, he pitched six innings, I think, no mm-hmm. runs, five strikeouts. I mean, just came in and just really dominated, kind of took over the game, put the game in his hands, and pitched well. And he's done that multiple times this year. So, you know, you see all these new guys come in, and every time they come in, you're like, man, maybe he's the guy that we throw in these situations. Then you bring in yeah. someone else, and it's like, well, maybe he's the one. So you got a good problem on your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to watch for sure. We'll go game three. Got a little chippy in this one. A lot of bickering.
I love it.
Illinois is a little tired of getting their brains beat in. I get it.
How much can you bicker, though, after you're 0-2 against them already, but then you're just coming off of a 24-1 loss?
Yeah.
You can't really talk trash.
All you got to do is point at the scoreboard. That's enough for me.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, they continued to – it was the quick pitching, and I get it. It's frustrating. It sucks. But I know, like, Tennessee's done it also.
Did you see the dude from Auburn try to quick pitch the dude from Austin Peay? Yeah, he just, like – guy's getting in the box. He tries to quick pitch him. Dude from Austin Peay just absolutely nukes one over the scoreboard. You got to watch it. It was unreal.
That's awesome. That's a way to quit. You know, if you want people to stop quit pitching you, just yeah. do that. Do like Blake Burke. Hit it over the wall.
Yeah.
So you're down 3-0 in this game and, you know, needed some offense. I mentioned Tony Vitello puts guys in good situations. He puts Hunter Ensley in, who's been struggling. Dude just hits a nuke
yep.
into the porches. So that was good to see Hunter Ensley get going. He's a guy that was a mainstay in that center field for the whole year last year on that Omaha run. And I'm sure they'd like him to get going because he is such a good glove as well. And then Burke homers, flips his bat, has a little jawing with the catcher, and he gets ejected for it. Now, I know there was a warning earlier in the game. I know their catcher was up to bat, and him and Cal Stark had some words. They gave everybody a warning. So you were warned, but it's just – I watched the video, and it just seems so – like the umpire doesn't do anything when Burke initially says anything, and then the catcher is like throwing his hands up like complaining to the umpire, and then he gets ejected. It's like – oh, so somebody tails on you, so you just have to, like, eject somebody? That just – it seems so soft to me.
Yeah, it was so confusing because like I was watching on the telecast, and you don't – you, like, immediately you don't hear anything, don't see anything, and they're like, well, Burke's not at first base anymore. And then they're like, well, let's check this, and he ended up getting ejected. And, yeah, it didn't look like much. I mean, if you're going to get ejected, I guess I wish he'd have went kind of full psycho mode, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we'll handle it, but it is that's our identity. I think it's when we get chippy, when we get pissed off, I think that's great for mm-hmm. us. And I think teams coming into it is like, don't piss us off, because we turned into different animals. You saw it a couple years ago in that team. It was just fire us up and it's over with. Yeah. And I think that's — we had talked about it last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago, where this team just feels different. They're kind of — they seem more tight knit, just close. And I think it is. It's like, you know, you mess with one, you mess with all, which sounds kind of cliche, but that seems like that's kind of the case with this team.
Yeah, they just got some fire to them, and I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they got everybody's back, whereas last year, like, I don't know if that was the case. Now they got it going, and I guess that's all that matters, if you just find it. But yeah, this team to have so many kind of new faces to it just kind of seems like it's that same Tennessee baseball that we've seen before 2023. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and it's like the freshmen that have come in have kind of taken on that identity, and you love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I just like the fire, and a lot of people, I think, hate Tennessee baseball because that's all they see is like, oh, Blake Burke hit a home run, did a bat flip, said something, got ejected. But what they don't see is Blake Burke, after he is ejected, comes back after the game, signs autographs, take pictures with kids, you know, gets – a lot of those kids came to see Blake Burke hit home runs.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it once and then gets, you know, tossed. But for him to come back out and do that, I think says a lot. And that's something that people doesn't – they don't really see that side of Tennessee baseball. They just see the bat flips and the cockiness and the jawing. And they see Tony and him getting fired up. And I think there's – that's great in baseball, but there's also a little bit more to it than just that. So, yeah, maybe people should pay a little bit more attention is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, you always want to look at the negative things, never the positive. So, no, this team, I mean, you know, you see stuff on social media, stuff outside of baseball that doesn't get put into, you know, main media. So we see what they're doing, but other people don't. So they're just like, oh, Tennessee's all these bad, cocky, yada, yada, yada. But we kind of get to see the true side of it. So, yeah, it's, I didn't know that, but that's awesome. So good for him.
Yeah. So you're able to get tied up in the sixth inning. You're down 3-0, I think, in the fifth. Then Hunter Ensley hits a home run. Blake Burke hits a home run. Dean Curley hits a sacrifice fly in the sixth to tie it. And then Tears gives the lead in the seventh with the double. And Villeneuve just
pimped one.
Yeah, and popped a champagne bottle. Champagne, yeah, Illinois, if you know what I'm saying. With that grand slam. And that was – it was like – it was just a matter of time before he hit another one.
I agree.
And then it just seems like when Tennessee has some runners in scoring position or bases loaded, hey, we get a little juiced up. We get a little fired up. And
I love it.
We start hacking. And I love it.
Because we were worried about it earlier in the year. We were like the first couple of games was like, oh, gosh, is this going to be an issue for us? And it's like, well – I don't think it is.
Right. And I don't know what exactly we ended up with what am I trying to say? The
runners in scoring position?
Yeah, like the batting average in scoring position. Yeah. entering Sunday, we're 500 with runners in scoring position. So, I mean, we were
– You don't beat that.
No.
You can't beat that.
Yeah. And that's what the difference is. Like, Tennessee, besides Saturday, like, Tennessee wasn't getting just – a ton more hits. Illinois actually out-hit us today. But Tennessee's able to hit with score with runners on, get runners on, hit with them, hit it over the fence, hit the long ball. And that's why Tennessee scores runs in bunches like that. So that's how you're able to get the sweep. Now, Saturday was its own thing, and everybody hit and everybody scored, and yeehaw. But the rest of the games was kind of a grinded out a little bit. Like, you had to find yourself. But – you know, that's why you have dudes in your lineup that can hit it over the wall and can get you those runs back with the one swing of the bat.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I want to touch on one more thing in the game three. Ensley coming in, hitting that home run. That says a lot. You know, it's going to boost his confidence a lot just knowing that Tony still feels that he can send him out there and take care of business. Even though he's been, you know, slacking, not slacking, but slumping, I guess, to an extent. And I've been playing the baseball, you know, we want, he wants. But know your coach still got that confidence in you to send you out there and you take advantage of it. I mean, that goes a long way for your confidence, your team's confidence. So everybody, you know, kind of sees that and hopefully you can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love to get, you know, one catcher going a little bit more. I know Peebles he had a pretty good game in the midweek, but it has kind of struggled a little bit this weekend. And I just want to see who's going to take those last two spots. I like what Bargo gives you. I think he's a solid kind of swing player. You can play him anywhere almost. First base today when Blake Burke got ejected. He was in the outfield some. He can DH. And then Villeneuve can hit a bomb anytime he's up in the box. You know, you've seen him in the outfield some, but, you know, he's more of like your DH guy. So who ends up taking those roles? Is it just kind of whoever has the hot bat in SEC play? I don't know. But I'd like to see who ends up winning that. Because I think whoever it is probably has a really good season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could say it any better myself. That's probably what it will be, is who's hot. And that's the good thing. It's a good problem to have because, you know, if someone is slumping or just has a bad day or, you know, God forbid, an injury or something, you've got that. You've got another solid stick in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You don't miss a beat,
yeah,
which is huge. I mean, that is huge for baseball, for any sport, but especially baseball.
Yeah. And I know we had some errors this weekend. I'm sure a lot of that had to do with it just raining. You know, Dean Curley had some. I think Billy Amick bobbled a few at third base. But I think when you're playing just regular, I think those two will be just fine. I think Dalton Bargo had one on Sunday where, you know, it was kind of in between if it was going to bounce or not, and just kind of dropped it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of that is just him not playing a lot of first base. I wouldn't look much into the errors. They weren't just horrible errors. And with the bats coming the way that they are, it doesn't matter.
No, yeah, I agree. And we've been fielding the ball so well. And it's like you said, it's not big errors, not errors that really hurt you. So, yeah, I mean, I think it had to be mostly weather or just had to be something. I've never played on turf when it's raining, so I don't know how that is. But it obviously there was an issue with you saw it in multiple games this weekend. So I think you look past it. Don't worry about it. But, yeah.
Yeah. Tennessee does take on Eastern Kentucky in the midweek. Not a good baseball team at all. They're 2-14 on the season. Mm. They've lost six in a row. They have faced three SEC teams up to this point and haven't won a single game. They've got swept by Auburn, lost to Vanderbilt in the midweek, and then they played Tuesday and Wednesday against Kentucky and lost both of those as well. Got swept by Wright State over the weekend. Did put up 11-16 in some of their games, but they gave up 17-21 in those games. So, doesn't seem like the pitching is very good, and it should be a pretty easy get a lot of guys some work, and let's get on to SEC play. You'll face Alabama and Tuscaloosa coming that weekend. Before we finish the show, we do need to get our MVPs of the week. I will let you go first this time.
Okay. I think I'm going to go Dylan Dreiling.
Okay.
Switch it up a little bit. I think he's finally starting to hit his stride all weekend. He just looked – I don't know. He's just his presence in the box just seemed a lot more comfortable. And he never really was just, you know, struggling beginning of the year, but – he's finally starting to barrel it up, make contact. I mean, I think he's 4-for-9 in the weekend, 2 bombs, 4 RBIs. Just a big bat and a guy you want to get going, a guy that if you get going and he stays hot, he's going to be huge for your team. I remember talking about it at the beginning of the season and saying that him and Tears were liable to just have absolutely insane years. Yeah. And Tears is well on his way. And if Dreiling keeps this up, he's on his as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that one. I'm going to go Blake Burke. I know you went with him last week. I'll go with him this week. 5-for-9, 6 RBIs, 2 bombs, inching closer to that Tennessee home run record. I think he's 4 away from tying Luke Lipsius, 5 away from the actual record. Hit his 36th one on Sunday. And maybe got another one. I don't know. We'll never know because he was ejected for something stupid. Let's just not be soft. Come on. This is big boy baseball. Let's put the pride away and let's just let the guys play ball.
Yeah, we've 100% said worse things, done worse things in other situations this year, and no issues. So
yeah. Just a little power hungry. Just seems to be the consensus around college baseball right now is, you know, they don't want a egregious bat flip, but, you know, you also can't, like, talk to somebody in a heated game. I don't understand it. He did warn him. I don't know what was said. I'm not going to act like I do. But from the video, it looks like the catcher just cried to the umpire and got Blake Burke ejected. But I'm going to go Blake Burke just because, like, yeah, he had a great weekend, 6 RBIs. But the fact that he was ejected and then came back on the field to, you know, just take time out of his day to, you know, make some kids' day, I think it says a lot about that. Him and just this Tennessee program in general. There's a lot of guys would do that very same thing, I'm sure, on that roster.
Yeah, it says a lot about your culture and what Tony's built here. So you love to see it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you look at these guys like, you know, these kids look at these guys like they're superheroes. Mm-hmm. And it's weird now we've got to the age where it's like, man, these guys are our kids. Like, I remember I used to look at them that way. Like, not baseball, but thinking about, like, Chris Lofton back when I was a kid was like,
sure,
this dude was like a Greek god to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, them just coming out. And if it's 20 minutes, if it's 2 hours, just taking it out their day, just make these kids' day, it's huge.
Yeah.
And they'll always remember it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, good stuff. Guys, that's all we got.
One more thing.
Okay.
Dean Curley on Tuesday. No, we didn't say anything.
We did forget about that.
Holy cow. If his weekend was just a little bit better, he would have got my MVP. But I did. He's like an honorable mention. Dude, that was absolutely insane.
Yeah. And then
he was a pubic hair away from the fourth.
He was.
And the announcer had me fired up.
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but yeah, he's a sick man.
Dude, he had me. I thought, I mean, and it was, if he'd have hit that, it would have been a solo and he would have had the home run cycle. That is nuts. Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever been done. Maybe it has. It can't be by very many.
Yeah.
And he was able to do, he was going to do that as a freshman. Yeah. The first freshman to hit 3 home runs in a game for Tennessee. And yeah, I mean, he's your shortstop.
He is. Yeah. 100%. There's no denying it. I don't care.
Yeah. You did get to see some of Ariel Antigua, mm-hmm. Later on in some of those midweek games. And I think one game, maybe this weekend, he came in the 9th inning. He's not batting right now, so they just kind of want to see what he can do. And, we'll see what happens. But I think Dean Curley, the way that he's playing right now, I think he's your shortstop. Now,
yeah,
if Antigua wants to one-up him and, you know, start a midweek game and hit for the home run cycle, hey, maybe we can talk.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think if you brought Derek Jeter right now, you'd have to set him on the bench, like Curley, play it out. So he's hot right now, man. You got to let him keep rolling with it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank y'all for listening. We'll be back next week talking about the midweek game against Eastern Kentucky and then Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So it should be a fun weekend. SEC play is officially back. It's going to be fun. And thank y'all. Have a good week. And we're out.